The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Brought to you by Standard Life. Retirement specialists getting you ready for your second life.
Valerie Cox is with me, journalist and author, as is Brenda Power, columnist with the Sunday Times and Irish Daily Mail. Brenda, were you first in line last night at the three arena?
No, I wasn't, actually, because I didn't have $2,000 to lash around.
You could have gone the 160 in the peanut gallery.
Apparently they sold out straight away. No, I wasn't. No, I would like to have seen it. I do think it was a little bit disrespectful of him not to have left the Shelburne in order to accept his freedom of Dublin. It was brought to his hotel and the ceremony conducted there.
Well, it's a long hike from the Shelburne to the Mansion House.
It is.
You'd be exhausted after such a walk. Yes. Valerie, any interest?
Well, you know, if he'd called to see me, I'd be delighted to see him.
But you're not putting your hand in your pocket for $2,000, no?
No, I'm not.
There is, of course, other stuff to discuss. And the presidency continues to absorb attention. Thankfully, now we know who the actual runners and writers are. But a lot of the attention is on one of the people who didn't make the final list, that being Maria Steen. And there's a very interesting piece written by Fintan O'Toole about tension between herself and Michael McDougall, it seems. And Michael McDougall saying, if I have this right, Brenda, he's saying that...
John Sheehan, I think, is it?
Yeah, did I...
You said Fintan O'Toole.
I'm sorry, I have Fintan O'Toole in the brain from Barack Obama. Yes, of course, Fintan Sheehan. That he maintains that if he had nominated her, she would have won.
I think there's a very good chance of that, to be honest. I mean, when you say that the
because of McDougall's heft? Is that
pardon?
Because of McDougall's heft?
No, because I think there's a lot of people who do not feel that their voices are represented by any of the three candidates at present. I know a lot of people who I would have considered middle ground who'd said I'd have voted for her because neither of the three in the race at the moment, I think you'll have to agree, are particularly inspiring. But also, I mean, I see Michael McDougall, who, by the way, I would have absolutely taken time off work to campaign for if he'd run himself, because I think he would have walked it. He would have been an excellent president. But I think his claim that she would have been divisive is kind of an acknowledgement of the fact that she would have got a lot of support.
But sorry, before we get to the claim about her being divisive, do you interpret what he's saying as, if I had nominated her, she would have got through the nomination process and then won? Or do you interpret it to mean, if I had nominated her, such is the ceiling?
Oh, I don't think so. Oh, right, I don't think that was. I think he just meant that had she got the nomination, she would have won. And I think that's a strong possibility, to be honest. I really do. Because, I mean, the president really represents, we were talking about it earlier, and Valerie said, a kind of an ethical standard as well, an ethical reflection of what the country believes in. And, you know, okay, so she's Catholic. So according to the most recent census, it's 70% of the population. So are we going to mock and deride somebody because she actually believes that stuff, to quote Father Ted, and she lives her Catholic faith? And another point that was made...
Now, what's the divisiveness reference then?
I'm not really sure, because, I mean, one of the things I think Fintan O'Toole, whom you did mention, had previously said he thought that she should be on the ballot because, A, she reflects a fairly substantial opinion, but also there was no suggestion from anybody in her support base that we should ever rerun either of the two referendums on which she was in the opposing side. Whereas, I just want to point out that the only people who are seeking to rerun a referendum is the National Women's Council. They went to the UN and called on them to lobby the government to rerun the family and home referendums on which she was on the winning side. So the only people trying to drag us backwards, I would say, are the so-called liberals. But, I mean, I think at the very least, she reflects a point of view that is currently not aired anywhere.
Does your point about the referendums, or your reference to the referendums, not counter that, though? Because she was out of step with the vast majority of the people, as evidenced on two major, well, what would be seen as ethical or moral issues.
38%, I think, voted no to abortion, and 35% to same-sex marriage.
Well, so, that gives you 62% and 73%. Yeah, that's the overall majority.
But okay, but you know what I'm saying is, and well, as Fintan O'Toole acknowledged, they accepted the result. She's accepted the result. I've not heard her say we need another referendum on this. And there are clearly a substantial amount of people who had reservations about both of those campaigns. I think she would have done an awful lot better than people maybe imagine.
So what do you make of McDougall not supporting? Because I would have thought, whatever the divisiveness he may be pointing to, the totality of her views, I thought, was fairly aligned with many of his, no?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think he would be more liberal, I suppose. He would have been, obviously, as I would have been myself, I would have voted for the same sex and I would have voted for the abortion referendum. But I was on the same side as her when it came to family and home. I don't know, but I mean, I actually felt, Anton, that Catherine Connolly missed a trick in failing to nominate her, because here's what she would have done. First of all, she would have vindicated her claim that in supporting Gemma Doherty, she was exercising her, the democratic right that she has, and she didn't mean that she supported the individual. So that would have vindicated that claim for her. B, she would have got all of Steen's transfers. And C, she would have taken votes. The only people Steen would have taken votes from was Heather Humphreys or Jim Gavin. There's no way anybody who was thinking of voting for Catherine Connolly would ever have voted for her. So she would have divided, divided the kind of centre vote. And she would have vindicated her claim that she was a Democrat when she nominated Gemma Doherty.
Text say, Miss Steen's campaign started way too late, tired of her mistake being refreshed as someone else is doing. Yeah. Is there truth in that, Valerie?
Yeah, I mean, she should have been going around the local authorities a couple of months ago. And making a big effort. I mean, at that stage, she was doing nothing, certainly not publicly. People hadn't heard of her.
Hang on, Jim Gavin only appeared out of the mist a week ago.
Jim Gavin is a different situation altogether. I mean, the thing we're looking at here really is, you know, what is the power of Michael McDowell's endorsement? You know, I don't think that that's what would have got her elected. What would have got her elected was the absolute lackluster in the lineup that we're presented with. A whole group, you know, three people who are the greyest, most boring, lack of interest people I've ever seen on any nomination paper.
A text has just arrived in to say, so no inspiring candidates, what utter drivel. Jim Gavin has been incredibly successful in his sporting and working life. He has given
so much to both
Dublin and the country as a whole.
Yes, but it doesn't make him a president. I mean, one of the papers today tells us that he's got four major GAA people supporting him. Now, if you're not a GAA person, and I'm not, I never even heard of Jim Gavin until now. And yes, he might be great at what he's done in the past. I'm sure he was. And he says if he had known about things that were happening in the armed forces and so on, yes, I'd have done something about it. But that's not what we want to hear from a presidential candidate. The man hasn't a clue, as far as I can see. His interviews have been lackluster, boring, and giving us very, very little insight into who the man is.
Patrick Hillary was hardly Errol Flynn, was he?
Patrick Hillary had the experience of being a politician and knowing what the whole job was about. And for that, we respected him. And I think this is something we need to look at very seriously. Brenda and I were talking about it earlier. In the past, you know, when we still had the shadow of 1916, War of Independence hanging over us, we accepted that people who were in authority, who were politicians, whatever, they were the ones we were going to elect. And we accepted it because the ordinary people of Ireland didn't see themselves as potential presidents. Mm. And it's only in the last maybe 20 years that we have people saying, hang on, I'm not a TD. I don't have a party backing me. I don't come from a political family, but yes, maybe I could do it. Mm. So for that reason, we need to change the constitution and make it a bit easier. Now, I think it's appalling.
So you don't have to go through the process of 20 or
you go through some process. I mean, you can't have people that you really, really wouldn't be voting for various reasons. Mm. Not going to go into that, but you know, you do have to have a process where people get on and are nominated or whatever, but not to make it as difficult as it was, where Maria Steen went out and got 18 nominations. Yeah. She got her final one from Aubrey McCarthy the other day, the senator, and two more outstanding. Michael McDowell has behaved atrociously. He looked on her as his ally during the referendum last year. He looked on her in a very positive note. And now he's going around. He wouldn't even give her, and people wouldn't return her phone calls. I mean, the amount of rudeness
out
there.
It has been made clean. I mean, McDowell owes her nothing. And he has made clear in the piece written by Fionnán Sheehan that he had communication with her, where he said very clearly in a message, my position is that I've already informed two hopefuls that I'll make no decision or commitments on nominations until the likely set of nominees becomes clearer. There's your answer. I don't owe you nothing.
I know that, yes. And he said two candidates. So he was putting this woman he'd worked with last year into the same category as any other candidate, which I actually don't think is very fair.
And really, none of the people who nominated her owed her anything. But what they saw was a democratic duty to make the field as broad as possible. And just on a completely superficial level, I got a text from a friend this morning saying, I was kind of looking forward to having the best looking president, best dressed, most elegant president in Europe. But there you go.
And you want to hear about the handbag?
Because yes, I do. This was a revelation to me.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Now, I don't know. I mean, it's a terrible colour. I don't know how she'd ever keep it clean. But what she did say was, I mean, she's laughing about it now.
Valerie, when it gets dirty.
And she says, the handbag was deliberate. I wanted to expose the hypocrisy of the left, who don't love the poor, they just hate the rich.
She's so right about that.
The handbag
is so right about that. The venom and the spite and the jealousy that was directed at the handbag. I mean, you know, it does seem to me that the left absolutely detest people who work hard and earn their own money and spend it and seem to enjoy it. Whereas, you know, for the last 14 years, Michael D. Higgins has been living in the Oros like an oligarch with private jet at his disposal, limousines, staff, 94-room mansion.
He can hardly snap his fingers and say, bring the Learjet around the Oros.
Because the taxpayers paying for it, that's absolutely fine. But earn your own money, buy yourself a nice handbag. As she said, had a man turned up with a Rolex watch, would anybody have questioned him? Not at all.
Absolutely.
Pure jealousy.
A text to say Brenda is correct. If Maria Steen had been nominated, she would have won. She represents the views of roughly 40% of the electorate, and she would also wipe the floor with the other candidates in the debate. Another. Yeah. Maria Steen's arrogance is astonishing. After failing to start a campaign in time to get the nomination, she's now attacking our democratic system instead of having the decency to put her hand up and admit that she got it wrong. That aside, sorry, this is only just, the penny has only just fully dropped now. She's saying that she carried out a handbag worth 15 grand?
Up to 40.
We're not sure. And we're not actually sure it was genuine, are we?
I think she suggested
it would hardly be a knockoff. Would
Although I have one very like it that I bought for 20 euro in Spain.
But was it blue?
She's saying that she carried out a 20 grand handbag to make a point about socialism. Is that right?
To expose the hypocrisy of people who would attack somebody for their apparent success. Whereas, in fact, what she's saying is these lefties pretend they love the poor, where they actually just detest and are envious of people who make a success of themselves. And I think there's a lot to be said for that point of view.
Your guest, Valerie, is wrong about Jim Gavin. He has the credentials to be president.
Well, it depends on what you think the credentials are. I don't think playing football is a credential or running the GAA is a credential for becoming a president. And I think that's really going to hit him when he gets, you know, that's fine in Dublin. Everybody in Dublin probably knows about GAA. But once you get around the country, would everybody know him? Would they know enough about him? And remember, the party ties are very strong. I mean, I predict Heather Humphreys is going to walk this.
She is, I think. Yeah.
She is. Yeah. And she's already well on the way. She's spending more money on social media, which, of course, is going to close down in a couple of weeks' time in terms of political meta are changing all their rules so they can actually only advertise for about the next fortnight on it. She's already
You have already suggested that this is made up of a troika of utterly uninspiring candidates. Presumably Heather Humphreys, by your measure, then, is just as uninspiring as any of the rest of them.
Well, I'm talking about Heather Humphreys in terms of her experience of being a TD, a minister. She knows the scene. She knows what's going on. And I actually think her link with Northern Ireland and is going to be a good one.
I have no doubt that Jim, another one saying, not only has Jim Gavin's got the credentials, he never heard of Jim Gavin. Are you kidding me? I suspect there will be people in the Gavin campaign who will point out that the credentials go far beyond the GAA and that the long service in the defence.
Well, I wish he'd tell us.
Would count for much as well. Other stuff, and this may be something, Valerie, that you have direct interest in, I think, which is the front of the Irish Indo saying thousands more are going to get carers' allowance in budget plan.
Yeah, this is absolutely great news for all the carers in Ireland. At the moment, only 100,000 receive a carer's allowance. Now, this is where someone in your family has got a serious disability or an illness. It's not going to go away. And, you know, for any family in this position, I mean, I'm very close to some people in the Carers Association. It is a very, very expensive time, whether you have a baby, a child or an older person and you are caring for them. It takes all the resources, physical and emotional, of a family to look after somebody in this position. It's very difficult. It's very expensive. It changes the entire system that the family runs on. It changes the look of the family, if you like, and impinges on everybody's life. And people do it out of love. And for many decades, our governments, successive governments, have just been happy to sit back and say, ah, sure, it's grand. The family will look after him. And it's not grand anymore. It
really
isn't.
And do you think the difference? We're talking 200 euro for a single person, 400 for a couple in income thresholds. That's what is theoretically going to be the change.
Yeah,
would that make that big a difference?
Well, we're getting towards the stage where there shouldn't be an income test at all, a means test. And, you know, that's where we're moving towards. And this is very helpful because apparently, I don't know the figure for this, but an awful lot of families can't get it at all because they're on the margins. So this certainly will bring an awful lot more people into the system. But in actual fact, the other thing is, and, you know, the Carers Association have worked on this, they're not getting enough. I mean, if you look at the expenses, for example, if you have a family member with a disability and you don't have a medical card, this would be Ireland's middle income families. Yeah. You are dealing with a lot of expense. The prices, if you look at a price list of things like, you know, wheelchairs, hoists, fancy beds, all of that, medicine, all the rest of it, it's desperately expensive. Mm. And even some of the medication people need, it's not covered on the monthly, whatever you call it.
Card.
No, yeah. Not the medical card, the other one that everybody gets, where you pay €80 a month, you know? Oh, yeah, so I think this is very good news, but they need to follow it through. And I think a lot of people will be watching them.
Valerie, thank you very much. Yeah. Likewise, thank you very much to Brenda Power. That's Valerie Cox, journalist and author. Brenda Power, columnist with the Sunday Times and Irish Daily Mail.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.